But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Through him that first loved us. He loved us first, and then now we love him. And because we love him, our love is a choice. It is not by force. Love cannot be enforced. Love can only be a choice. Love cannot be enforced. Love can only be a choice. Can you tell somebody, love me by force? No. Glory to God. You can't say to anyone, you must love me by force. No, love cannot. If they tell you, okay, I love you, it is coming from his mouth, it's not coming from his heart. And so that makes it false. Love can only be by choice. It cannot be by force. Glory to God. And then he said, it is the master key that works in everything. Love must be in place for anything to work. Love is the master key that when it is done by choice, makes everything work. Matthew 22:36-40. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. Love is great. Love is greater. Love is the greatest. But love that must work must be the love that is by choice. The love that must work must be the love that is by choice. And very quickly this morning, there are benefits of genuine love for God. Everyone that walks in genuine love for God is always rewarded. And let's quickly take a look at some of the benefits of genuine love for God. Number one, genuine love for God confirms establishment in service. Genuine love for God confirms establishment in service. In other words, no matter what circumstances, like Paul said, I cannot stop serving my lover. It does not matter what it is. I will not stop serving my master. That's why Paul said, is it peril? Is it Romans 8:35-37? He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What is it that can separate us? Is it tribulation or distress or persecution? Is it famine? Is it nakedness or peril or sword? He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In other words, it may not be convenient to serve your lover, but a proof of your love is that you will serve them. He says, this is the proof of our love for God. We are in service. We are serving him. Nothing can stop us from serving him. True lovers are never tired of serving their lover. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. In other words, whatsoever we are doing, we are not doing for man, we are doing for God. It is him that will reward us. And so he says, nothing should be able to stop us from serving. I said in the first service, you get to work tomorrow, for example, and then somebody knocks you on the head and says, I don't like your face. Do you stop going to work? Stopping to go to work is your paycheck stopping. And you know, you don't want that. That person is not the one that will write your paycheck, so you don't care about them. You care about the paycheck. He's not the one signing your paycheck, so if he stops, if he do anything to you, you still go back there the next day. So serving God, a proof of our love, is empowerment to serve. When he confirms our love, we are empowered to serve. You hear some people say, I'm not coming again. I'm not serving again. I will just be serving anyhow. Then God pays you anyhow pay. Glory to God. You serve him genuinely. He says, genuine love for God is the beginning of the reward. Genuine love for God is the beginning of the reward. Now look at what Peter said. Because Peter was a very, very good, he didn't want to just do nothing for nothing's sake. So he went to Jesus one day, and then he said to him, Matthew 19:27-28, he says, Master, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee, what shall we have therefore? What is in this for me? I'm serving you. All of us are serving you. What is in this for me? And then he said, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his grace, of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is, not only is your reward beginning from here, your reward continues in heaven. Who can pay you that? And that's why you cannot, because of somebody that is not signing your paycheck, stop going to work. Those who serve to the end, when your grace for service is confirmed, and then it begins to reward. So one of the things is that we will be empowered to serve. Paul said, look, my service is not because of anything. It is because of my love first. And then because God saw my love, he gave me the grace to do it. He empowered me on it. There will be situations that may want you to quit, like you had in that song. From that ministration. Situations that wanted me to quit, but he empowered me the more. Why? He saw my love for him. My love for him is the reason why he empowered me. 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul said, this is the reason he has empowered me. Acts 26:22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continued. I obtained help, and then I continued. He saw my love first, and then he empowered me to do it. He saw my love, and then he saw my move, and then he engraced me to continue. Witnessing to both small and great, saying on other things that we said should come. Service for lovers is when our love for God is confirmed, he engraces us to do more. You won't be tired. I said you will not be tired serving your God. Joshua said, my service is a choice rooted in love, not out of compulsion. Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, but as for me and my house, we have made a decision. We are going with the Lord. You will not be tired on the altar of service in the name of Jesus Christ. Benefits of genuine love for God. Number two, genuine love for God confirms unusual strength for exploits. Genuine love confirms unusual strength for exploits. John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what the Father doeth, the Lord doeth. But I called you friends, and all the things I've heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. And one of the things I've heard from my Father that I'm making known to you is Daniel 11:22, but the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. One other thing that I do heard from my Father and I'm making known to you is that every true lover of God will be a true lover of his house. Every genuine lover of God will be a genuine lover of his house. And look at what happens when you come to his house. Psalms 84:7, it says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Now this empowerment, this is not just for show. It is for exploit. The strength for exploits. That strength is coming upon somebody this morning. I said that strength is coming upon you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it severally. No lover is ever tired of going to his lover's house, no matter how far it is. No matter how far it is. No lover is tired of going to a lover's house. I've seen somebody in those days when I was in Atlanta that was flying to Atlanta twice a month from Nigeria. Every two weeks. Why? My lover is there. When his lover relocates to Nigeria, go and tell him to fly to Atlanta. He will tell you it's far. I can't go again. Why? His lover is not there. Was coming every 2 weeks. Why? Because he's not far. And he's in Atlanta, it's one night bus. By the time you are landing, it's already morning in Atlanta. It's one night bus. Night in Nigeria, morning in Atlanta. So I'll just sleep all through. Tell him his lover is no more there. Find out what he will say. Number three, very quickly as we proceed, benefits of genuine love for God. Genuine love for God makes great things to keep happening in the life of the lover. Genuine love for God makes great things to keep happening in our lives. Genuine love for God makes great things to keep happening in our lives. Genuine lovers don't beg for change of levels. Their lover supernaturally, automatically changes their level. Genuine lovers of God never beg. Matthew 6:31-33, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we hear? What shall we wear? And it's talking about genuine lovers. Take, therefore, no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? It says in verse 4, after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But this is what I want you to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in every other thing that you would have been running after, I will cause them to run after you. Every other thing. What others are dying for will be the original happenings of the life of the lover. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Lovers don't beg for things. Lovers automatically get things when their love is genuine. Lovers don't beg for things. They automatically receive things when their love is confirmed. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Lovers, genuine lovers of God, God makes things to happen for them on their own accord. They don't beg for it. There are things your husband, you won't beg your husband to buy for you. He jumps into your car, he goes to buy, put gas in it, and brings it back. It's a sign of love. I also said in the first service, he goes somewhere, he just sees something that he likes. Oh, this thing will fit my lover, my wife. Buys it and then presents it. And I said in the first, you can go back. I know they can go back to change it later. Because it may not be the original one or the color they want. They may go back to change it, but check out the heart that did it. The heart that brought it. Glory to God. Genuine lovers never need to ask for things. The Lord makes things to happen for them on their behalf. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord had given me, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel. From the Lord of hosts, we dwelleth in Zion. I and the children, because for me and for my house, we will serve him. So myself and my children, we will be wonders. We will end up being wonders. That will be somebody's testimony here. In the name of Jesus, your amen is weak.
Amen.
So, genuine lovers have no explanation to the happenings of our lives. No, let me rephrase that. Genuine lovers have no human explanation when it comes to the happenings of their lives. In other words, you can't deny it, but you can't explain it. You can't deny it, but you can't explain it. Things just keep happening. Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear her, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Even when the enemy means some things for evil for them, he says he will turn it for their good. He turns it around for their good. The enemy means it for evil, but for lovers, it changes for them. It turns for their good. Look at it. I said in the first service, the happenings of somebody's life beginning from now will be inexplainable, but undeniable. When a man can explain your life, how you got to where you got to, it is not God. But there are people. Well, it may be God, but it is normal. From one level to another, from grade 1 to grade 2, grade 2 to grade 3, it is normal. When a child is in school, it's from grade 1 to 2, grade 2 to 3. But when a child crosses from grade 1 to grade 7, something is going on. I mean, you understand what God is saying. So somebody is on the floor now. You are expecting the person to at least start crawling. And being on the floor simply means he doesn't even have money for public transport. And then you expect him to start crawling. So after a while, he has money for public transport. You expect him to start to find his feet. After a while, he gets a basement apartment. You expect him to start walking little by little. After a while, he moves into another place. And then he keeps going and going and going. And after a while, he gets a 1998 Ford Contour. It's another level from somebody that didn't have transport. But when you see somebody on the floor and the next thing is flying, how can you explain that? That is the happening of your life from now. Amen. It will be inexplainable but undeniable. Amen. That is the happenings of true lovers. Number four, quickly. Circumstances cannot keep genuine lovers of God under. They may be challenged, but they cannot be defeated. Circumstances cannot keep them under. They will always triumph, no matter what life throws at them. They will always triumph. Tell yourself, I will triumph. That is, genuine lovers never fail at anything. 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth. It says, but whether be prophecies, they shall fail. But love will not fail. That means if love cannot fail, and the Bible says we live in love and love lives in us, it means that we cannot fail. Happenings of our lives cannot fail, even in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, one day I said Elijah, the prophet, was tired. He wanted to give up. He felt everything was working against him. And then he went to God. Oh Lord, what's going on here? And then in verse 14, the Bible says of 1 Kings chapter 19, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And God said, look, it's not like I departed from you. I had been walking behind the scene for your comfort. And look at what I'm going to do. I have been walking behind the scene for your comfort. So in verses 15 to 17, he said, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. That is, you have been the one fighting all the war. Now you will stay at the background. I am appointing people now to be doing it. The first one, if they escape the first one, they won't escape the second one. If they escape the second one, they cannot escape the third one. That is, but you now, you have fought enough. Just go and relax. Your season of stress is finally over. Amen. I said your season of stress is finally over. Amen. Everything will be working for you sweatlessly. Amen. No matter the circumstances, genuine lovers will always end up triumphant. You will triumph. Amen. And covenant day of exemption, it's our covenant day of exemption. Please take note. I said the evil days are here. If the evil days are here, so also are the exemption days. The evil days may be here, but the exemption days are realer. Glory to God. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. He says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. He says, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That tells us that no matter the happenings in the world, we are separated for exemption. No matter the happenings in the world, there are people who will always be exempted. I said, I read this morning that even based on this earthquake going on around, they rescued a family, was it yesterday or today? A family after 12 days in the rumble. After 12 days, a whole family were rescued. Exemption. That is the kind of exemption you and your family will enjoy. Amen. That's why we are so sure of our exemption status. But why are we sure? What makes us so sure of our exemption status? Number one, quickly, because we are a peculiar people. We are a what? Peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, take note. When a statement starts with but, it means there is something before it. Pay attention to it. When a statement starts with but, it means there is something before it. But simply means on the contrary to what was previously said. On the contrary to what was previously said. So it is better we understand this scripture, verse 9, better when we go back to verse 8. What does it say in verse 8? And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So he was talking about the unbelievers. That will be their portion. He says, but for us, this is our portion. That will be what they will be experiencing. But for us, we are so sure of our exemption that he stated it here. Look at it again. Exodus 19, 4 to 5. He says, we are peculiar people, so we are exempted people. Ye have seen that what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. The Egyptians went into the sea, but you, I created a highway for you in the sea. Egyptians sank in the sea, but I made a way for you, an highway. And he says it shall be called the way of holiness. I made a way for you in the sea, but others went into the sea. Why? You are peculiar. Verse 5, it says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure. Ah, you are not just a peculiar people, you are a treasure. Peculiar treasure. You know there are treasures and there are treasures. There are treasures you put on your dining table. You leave it there. There are treasures that will have to be kept a little bit. There are treasures that you will dig the wall to put it there. There are treasures that you buy safe for. And you put it in the safe. And then you put the safe in the wall. How many understand what I'm talking about? There are all manner of treasures. So he said you are a peculiar treasure. You are not an ordinary person. That is why you are exempted. Ah, your amen is weak. But what makes us peculiar? His presence. His undeniable presence. Every time we carry his presence, whatsoever happens to him, whatsoever answers to him, answers to us. Whatsoever answers to him, answers to us. You cannot be with the Prime Minister of Canada and be treated anyhow if you go somewhere. You cannot. The same honor they give to him is the same they will give to you. Look at Mary. Something strange happened to Mary. Something peculiar. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before they came together, and you know what that means. So Joseph said, I ain't doing again. Glory to God. Until the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, no, Joseph, this child is of the Holy Ghost. Your wife is peculiar. What is inside her is peculiar. The reason for our exemption is his presence. Why is it not happening for everybody? Why is it only happening for Mary? Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. God with us. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31, God with us. So if God is for us, then who can be against us? That means every time we go with God, we have is our armor. It becomes our defense. Anything that must get you must get him. God with us. His presence. When we carry His presence, whatsoever must sweep us off our feet must sweep Him forth first. God with us. God with you. Very quickly, examples of exempted people. Example of people who were exempted. Lovers who were exempted. Number one was David. David dangerously exempted. David challenged on every side, but never losing one battle. David dangerously exempted. Why? Look at David. Psalm 23, verses 4 to 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. David was so sure of his exemption status that he was saying it. Number one, God is with me. And I'm peculiar. I'm a different human being. He says, thou art thought the apple of mine eyes. David, the apple of God's eye. From now, your exemption status is confirmed. David, he said, again, David said in Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. David was a man who enjoyed undeniable presence of God. No wonder he was dangerously defended. From now, your defense is sure.
Amen.
I said your defense is sure.
Amen.
Your defense is sure. Says your grace and mercy covers me. Glory to God. Number two, very quickly, Paul, the apostle, an unbelievable lover of God. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35 to 37. He says, is it distress? Is it persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, no, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He says, and then one day they were going somewhere, and then the boat was about to capsize. And Paul already warned them, let's not go. It's not safe to go. They said, no, we got to go. In Acts 27, 22 to 24, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. He says, Paul, now, this is Paul now telling them. He says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. As long as you are with me, nobody will lose their life. For there shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the sheep. For there stood by me this night, the angel of God, his presence. There stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose am I and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. God had given you all that sail with you. You and your household, there shall be heavy covering for them.
Yeah.
Nothing falls in your household.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Exemption. They killed Paul. They drove him out of the city. The Bible says because the presence of God was still with him, he woke him up. The Holy Spirit woke him up. And Paul stood up again. One day, Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But to stay with you will be more needful for you. In other words, Paul was negotiating between death and life. Should I die or should I live? We are entering into that realm. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, example of Peter. Peter also made a choice to serve God, to love God. John 21, 15 to 17, Jesus himself asking him, Peter, do you love me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Peter, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I have made a choice to serve him. And then Peter exempted. Peter, exemption. Exemption of on every side. Why? Love confirmed. I said in the first service, love is not about what you say, it's about the action. Though women love the word, I love you, there are men who will never say it. How many understand what I'm talking about? It's not that they don't want to say it. They were not trained to say it. How many understand what I'm saying? Men agree with me now. That's why you're not talking. Glory to God. They can't say it because they were not trained to say it. But their action will prove it. Their action proves it that they do. They may not say it like you want to hear it. But their action proves it. It is not, somebody can tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. He looks at you now, oh, you know I love you. He has said that to 200 people. He has said it to 200 other people. You know I love, and his mouth is sweet. Oh, you know I love you. You know you are the sugar in my tea. You know I love you. You know you are my everything. And then, next minute, he has gone to somebody else. Oh, you know you are my rock. Then he goes to another one. Oh, you know you are my stone. He is saying it, but there is no action. He cannot prove it. It is not about what you say. It's about what we do that proves love. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. And what did Peter do? They said, Peter said, Jesus said to them, hey, sir, I mean, guys, the time is coming now that all of you will run away. Peter said, God forbid. If everybody runs, I can never run. Ah, Jesus said, your own is even different. you will deny me three times. Peter said, never. I cannot. When the time came, everybody took off. But Peter followed Jesus. Everybody, if you take a look at that scripture, all of them said likewise. Yet, likewise also said all the disciples. When Peter said, no, Lord, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Put it there, verse 36, verse 35. Though I should say it, he said, I will deny. He said, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Did you see any one of them there? All of them took off. Only Peter was following him. They were saying it with their mouth, but only Peter meant it in his heart. He followed him to the end. He denied Jesus, but even immediately he recognized what he did and he started crying. Lord, what have I done? Why should I have denied you? Genuine repentance. Not what you say. So don't let somebody telling you, I love you, be turning your head like let it. It's good when they say it, but let the action prove it. Prove it if you say so. Prove it. Glory to God. Quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we keep his presence? How do we keep the presence of God? By staying in love with God. We keep his presence by staying in love with him. Staying in love with God is key to keeping his presence. 1 John 4. 16 to 18. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God had towards world. It says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So as long as we are in love, then love is in us. And as long as we want exemption, then we must keep his presence. How do we keep his presence? By staying in love with him. Staying in love with him. For as long as we are in him, he remains in us. And as long as he remains in us, we remain exempted. And how do we keep getting exempted? By keep staying in love. When our love is confirmed, he keeps staying in with us. Ephesians 3:17 to 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Exemption is rooted also in the mystery of the anointing oil. There is exemption, power, in the mystery of the anointing oil. Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is the seal of the Holy Ghost upon everyone. When that seal comes upon us, we become exempted. That's the seal of the anointing oil. The anointing oil is just saying, this one is my own. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. This one is my anointed. My anointing is upon him. Evil, don't go close. What are we going to be exempted from? Very quickly. What should we be expecting from the anointing oil? What is our expectation from the anointing oil? Exemption from all evils of the day. The Bible says there is good in the day, and every day carries evil. You will not come near it. I said you will not come near it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 105 verses 13 to 14. He says, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. The anointing oil turns us to a touch not. It turns us to a touch not. So that means inside every day of the day remaining in this year, no evil will come near your dwelling. Amen. Ezekiel 9:4-6. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, which is the anointing oil, upon their foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to all the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But there is an exemption. Come not near anyone upon whom is the mark. The mark is the anointing oil. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the sanctuary. The mark is an anointing for exemption. Glory to God. So remember, don't come close. But don't come close to the anointed. Evil, don't come close to the anointed. This anointing will place a mark on your head for you and your household in the name of Jesus Christ. What should we expect from the anointing oil? Healing from all sicknesses and diseases. Healing from all sicknesses and diseases. I said in the second service, sicknesses slows us down. You can't do what you want to do when you are sick. You can't achieve much when you are sick. 2 Timothy 4:20, it says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Why did I leave him? It's slowing me down. It's slowing me down. There is no club in the world that will buy a player that is prone to injury. The day they find out he's prone to injury, that's the day they will start calculating his sale. Glory to God. Why? Because you cannot be earning $1 million per week and not be playing. And you're just sitting and watching everybody play. No player, sick player actually also loves to be sick because it's slowing them down. Their value keeps dropping when they are prone to sickness. I said in the first service, one day I was at home, I got a call that one of my friends had an accident in the city of Ibadan. They were not living in Ibadan, but they were traveling from Lagos to somewhere, and then they had the accident in Ibadan, brought them to the hospital, Jericho Nursing Home or something in Ibadan. And I was the only one that she knew in Ibadan. I went to that hospital, and I was there for a whole day and slept overnight, and I became sick. Why? For staying in the hospital. Not sick, but sick of everything was smelling of hospital. Everywhere I turned, smelling of hospital. Food was smelling of hospital. I was just sick. Why? because of staying with somebody that is sick for one day. You won't be sick again. Amen. Every sickness as you are anointed today drops off your body. Amen. Every sickness drops off your system. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So inside the oil is anointing for to clear off every form of sicknesses and diseases. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What else is inside this oil? Inside this oil is breakthrough power. Breakthrough power. So as you are anointed today, your level of breakthrough changes. Amen. Luke, Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 3. The Lord, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. That means the gates of breakthrough will be permanently open for you. Amen. He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the bars of iron and cast asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, which called thee by thy name. I am the God of Israel. Breakthrough power. Everywhere you turn now, it shall be breakthrough for you. Amen. There will never be any breakdowns for you. Amen. And finally, number four, what is in the oil? The destruction of every yoke. Whatsoever yoke you came in here with this morning is surely not going home with you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off thy shoulder and his yoke off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Why? Because of the anointing. Every yoke and any yoke that came in here with you, as the Lord liveth, as the oil comes upon your head, it shall drop off your body. Amen. It shall drop off your system. Amen. Every yoke of sickness, yoke of lack, yoke of lack and want, no matter what yoke it is not for you to carry. Therefore, it will be cleared off on this ground tonight, this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up on your feet with me. Give God thanks this morning. Give him all praise and all glory. Give him all the honor and all adoration. Magnify and exalt his name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt your name. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you and thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. Somebody's here this morning before we partake of the anointing that wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I did know you before, but I walked out on you. But now I want to return. I want to return.